Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
Father to him and who believe in him through his apostles, disciples, and saints, may always be one with him and the Father through the Holy Spirit, the very love between them. Listen to one beautiful event that elucidates and pierces us regarding the mystery of the Lord's justice and mercy and his desire, his thirst for us to be united to him more than we can believe or understand. This is from the first time Venerable Father Germanus, Passionist Priest, meets St. Gemma Galgani. It was Monsignor Volpi, Gemma's confessor since childhood, that arranged for the provincial of the Passionists to order Father Germanus to go examine Gemma, and he reluctantly went to meet her at the home of her adopted family. I'll let Father Germanus share what he wrote about what happened. He writes, "I went there on the 1st of September, the year 1900, and stayed with the family. My feelings on that occasion, still vivid in my memory, baffle explanation. Our Lord was certainly preparing me to see great things by which every shadow of a doubt remaining in my mind should be dispelled. During the middle of supper, Gemma, feeling signs of a coming ecstasy, rose from the table and left the room. After a little while, her adopted mother, Cecilia, came to me and brought me to her, and we found Gemma in ecstasy. The subject of the ecstasy was the conversion of a sinner, and the form was a wrestling between Gemma and the divine justice to obtain this conversion. I confess that I have never beheld anything more affecting. The dear child was sitting on her bed with her eyes, face, and all her person turned towards the part of the room where our Lord appeared to her. She was not agitated, but earnest and resolute, like one in a struggle who is determined to win at any cost. She began by saying, 'Now that you have come, Jesus, I renew my supplications for my sinner. He is thy child and my brother. Save him, Jesus.' And she named him. He was a stranger whom she had met in Lucca, and moved by spiritual impulse, she had already warned him by word of mouth to listen to the dictates of his conscience and not be contented with mere public reputation of being a good Christian. Jesus seemed disposed to deal as a just judge with this man and remain unmoved by the entreaties of his servant. But she, not deterred, rejoined, 'For my soul only you have done so much. Why then will you not save this other soul? Save him, Jesus, save him. You have not measured the blood that you have shed for sinners. Do you not listen to me? And I, to whom must I turn? You have shed thy blood for him as well as for me. Will you save me and not him? I will not rise from here. Save him. Promise me that you will save him. It is a soul. Remember, O Jesus, it is a soul that cost thee so much. He will become good and not relapse.' In answer to all her entreaties, our Lord put forward the divine justice. But she, growing still more fervent, replied, 'I am not seeking thy justice. I am imploring thy mercy.' Then, Jesus, go in search of that poor sinner. Press him to thy heart, and you will see that he will be converted. You have not yet called him son. Tell him you are his father, and he is thy child. Try that. You will find that on hearing this sweet name of father, his hardened heart will soften.' And here, our Lord, to prove to Gemma what reason he had for remaining firm, began to show her one by one, with the most minute circumstances of time and place, the evil deeds of that sinner, adding that he had filled up their measure. The poor child showed her dismay. She let her hands fall and heaved a deep sigh, as if she had almost lost the hope of succeeding. But quickly recovering from the shock, she returned to the attack. "I know, Jesus," she said, "that he has offended thee grievously, but I have done worse, and for all that, you have shown me mercy. I know, Jesus, I know that he has made thee weep. But now, Jesus, you must not think of his sins. You must think of the blood you have shed. Triumph, triumph, I ask for him of you in charity." In spite of all these efforts, our Lord remained inflexible, and Gemma again relapsed into anguish and discouragement, remaining silent, as if she had abandoned the strife. Then, all of a sudden, another motive flashed to her mind that seemed invincible against all resistance. She became animated and spoke thus, "Well, I am a sinner. You yourself have told me so. Yes, I confess it, and I am unworthy that you should listen to me. But look, I present thee another advocate for my sinner. It is thine own mother who asks you to forgive him. See, oh, imagine saying no to thy mother. Surely you cannot now say no to her. And now answer me, Jesus. Tell me that you will save my sinner." The victory was gained. The whole scene changed aspect. The tender-hearted Savior had granted the grace, and Gemma, with a look of indescribable joy, exclaimed, "He is saved, he is saved. Thou hast conquered, Jesus. Triumph always in this way." And then she came out of the ecstasy. This most affecting scene lasted quite half an hour. The words in which I have described it were in part taken down in writing and in part preserved in my memory, from which I have faithfully drawn here. When it was over, having withdrawn to my room, with my mind engrossed by a thousand thoughts, I suddenly heard a tap at my door. "Father, a strange gentleman has called and wishes to see you." I told him to come in. He threw himself at my feet, sobbing, and said, "Father, hear my confession." Good God, I thought my heart would burst. It was Gemma's sinner, converted that same hour. He accused himself of all that I had heard repeated by her in the ecstasy. He had forgotten one thing only, and I was able to remind him of it. I consoled him, told him what had just happened, got his leave to narrate these wonders of the Lord, and after a mutual embrace, we parted. Some years have passed since that event, and I still seem to find myself present there. Indeed, we understand, because this scene is more than striking. It's unforgettable. And it all happened in Italian, I'd like to throw in there. Not only does our Lord desire that we appeal to his mercy and persevere in it, but he wants us to go through his sweet and blessed mother. And he himself teaches us this. We are so glad that the church celebrates May as Mary's month. It's a start, but at this abbey, ma che scherziamo? Un mese solo per la mamma? Per piacere, ogni giorno per la mamma. Ogni giorno la mamma ci porta a mangiare a questa tavola. As sons and daughters of Saint Norbert, here at this abbey, not only is May Mary's month, but every month, every week, every day, every hour, every moment, every action, every breath, every heartbeat, every thought, tutto, tutto quanto. Fate festa, rejoice. We are all hers, and so we are all his. All for Jesus, all through Mary. As spouse of the Holy Spirit, she makes us one with him and the Father and the Son, now and forever. E così sia.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.